Okay, yesterday we left off with the drasha that Rabbi Yochanan brought in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shimon, that Dvar Torah, that a Avi Reshet Beno, V'Yishai Reshet Bena. Basically, a mother will inherit her son. As opposed to what we've been, or the premise of what we've been learning until now in our Mishnah, which says that only a son inherits the mother, but not the other way around, that the mother inherits a son. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon has a drasha, Shnemar Matot, because of the Matot, Mekish Mateim, the Mateav, suggests that if you're going to make a Hekesh, the Hekesh between Mateav and Mateim, because of the Pasuk, it's found by Benot Slavchad and Parshat Maseh, which is Chol Bat Yerushin Achlam Mi Matot B'nei Yisrael, which is a plural. It means that you inherit from two Matot, Mateim and the Mateav. Before we use that drasha to make a Hekesh, that the Ben, that the son takes precedence over the daughters, even by Mateim, even by the Rusha from the mother. Whereas the drasha that we're suggesting now, the Gemara never introduced. So the Rebbe Shimon says, well, if you're going to make a Hekesh, let's make it all the way. If you're going to make that Hekesh, then say Mateim, Mateav. And just like we know by the Mateim and the by the Mateav, that it's a two-way street. Son from the father and father from the son. So too by the Mateaim, it should be the same thing. It should be a two-way street. That the son should inherit the mother, and the mother should inherit the son. So we left off with this yesterday, which is the question, the obvious question, is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says just the opposite. The top of Kuftaf Vav. Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Haisha et bina, vaisha et bala, vacheyaim manchilim, velo nochlim. Or you have it in black and white, that when it's a mother and a son, that they bequeath, but they do not inherit. So it's a one-way street. So what are you going to do with the fact that Rabbi Shimon over here all of a sudden has this opinion that it's a two-way street? So I don't know who authored the Mishnah. So let him say, Rabbi Zechariah ben Katzavi. Why don't we say that the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Zechariah ben Katzav? Why? Delo Dorish Matot. Because we know from the Gemara earlier that he's not Doresh Matot. Why not? Because he doesn't believe there's Kdimut. When it comes to inheritance from a mother, he thinks that a son and a daughter are equal. He thinks that there is no Kdimut when it comes to a son and a daughter when the mother is inheritance because of Dayod Avo Min Adin Liot Nkinidon. I mean that the original Limut comes from a Kavu Chomer. Then we said that the Kavu Chomer, if you say Dayod Avo Min Adin Liot Kinidon, that it would mean that simply the daughter and the sons were equal, but not that the son would get precedence. We learned to have precedence from Imatot. The fact that there's some sort of hekesh connection between Mateav and Mateim. Just like Mateav, the son has precedence, so too Mateim, the son will have precedence. Because Chaya ben Akatzav never learned that hekesh, because he believes that when it comes to Mateim, a son and a daughter are equal to in the property of their mother. So if that's the case, he's not letting Matot, then we have a great author for our Mishnah. The author of our Mishnah will be Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, who does not hold of this hekesh whatsoever of Matot, and therefore he's the one who says there's only one direction. It's unidirectional. It goes from the mother to the son, but does not go to the son to the mother. Whereas if you did hold of the hekesh, you'd have to hold of the hekesh all the way. The hekesh not only teaches you son before daughter, but it also has to teach you that when it comes to a mother and son, it's a two-way street. So that's the Gemara says, no, it can't be. Why? It says, Lo mitok no masisan k'reb zchari ben katzav. Our Mishnah cannot be established like zchari ben katzav, diktani. Because it says, later on, ubnei achot, right? When it says in our Mishnah, it says bnei achot or bnei achayot, whatever the right girsa is in the Mishnah, but the basic premise is here you have a nephew, but it says bnei achot. Now bnei achot, v'tana, we have a brace that explains that, bnei achot, v'lo benot achot. That when the Mishnah goes out its way to use the word bnei and not benot, it's teaching you that bnei, sons take precedence and not daughters. Because here we're talking about the mother. The inheritance is coming through a mother. This is either, depending on the girsa and the Mishnah, either an aunt or an uncle that are bequeathing, right, an inheritance to their nephews. And they bequeath the direction or how it reaches the nephews is through their mother. Right? The mother of these individuals, their sister or brother, again, depending on the girsa, is bequeathing inheritance to these children. It's coming through the mother. And the Mishnah uses not the term of benot, but rather the term of bnei achot. fact that he uses the term b'nei achot is an indication that it's b'nei and not b'not. Meaning if there are sons, the sons will take precedence. Here we see Mother Yerusha coming down with the sons taking precedence. Ramin on the Mai Hilchoso, and we say, what's the halacha for? Ramar Sheshes, the Kadim. To teach you sons precede daughters. And we know that that's not the opinion of Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav. That's the main part of his opinion. The main part of his opinion is that daughters and sons are equal when it comes to inheritance through the mother. So here you have inheritance that's coming through the mother, nephews that are inheriting through their mother. If they're coming through their mother, it should be nephews and nieces, not simply nephews. So the fact that there is no differentiation, the fact that there is a differentiation between banim and banot indicates that's clearly not Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav, who thinks there is no differentiation. If you think our Mishnah is Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav, he Hamar echad ben ve'echad banot shavim b'nechseim. When it comes to mother's property, or the bequeathing of property through the mother, it's equal. Son and daughter are completely equal. So he cannot be the author of our Mishnah. V'tana nidan. So wait, let's understand our Mishnah now. Mimanovshach. Our Tano has the ekesh of matot, but you only use it partially, which is not the right way to use ekesh. Ekesh either has to be used completely or partially. Or not at all. Sorry, either not at all. That's what Zechariah ben HaKatzav says, not at all. All right, we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shimon saying use it entirely. And then we have our Mishnah, which is kind of straddling the fence and using the hekesh partly and not. Otherwise, why? Idarish matot, if he believes there's such a hekesh, isha nami tirashit bena. Then it should be a two-way street when it comes to a mother and a son. It should be just like the son inherits the mother should inherit the son. Just like matot av, where the son and fathers have a two-way street. Ilo darish matot, if he doesn't darish matot, like Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav, then ben dekodon bat m'nichseim minole. Where does he know that the son gets precedence over the daughter when it comes to the mother's property, which is what we just said, b'nei achot and not b'not achot? Where did he ever get that from? He needs that case. So he can't have both ways. He can't have it that the son gets precedence over the daughter, yet the mother will not inherit the son. So when it says, no, the olam darish matot, he does darish the matot, v'shayni ocha. This case is different. Amar kra, v'chol bat, yoreshet nechala, yoreshet ve'enu mereshet. The fact that the pasuk used or reads this way, which is, v'chol bat yoreshet nechala mi matot b'nei Yisrael. That means it's a one-way street. It's chobat, yoreshet. So the word yoreshet indicates that she's inheriting, but not bequeathing. Now what could have it written, right? I mean, what was the alternative? The alternative would be v'chobat nachala. That's what the Rishbam suggests. Chobat nachala, mimatot b'nei Yisrael. Chobat nachala, and where do they get their nachala from? Of course, mimatot b'nei Yisrael, from their father and their mother. The fact that it uses the term yoreshet, he believes is the Gemara here says extraneous. The term yoreshet, then yoreshet comes to indicate that it's a one-way street and not a two-way street. So ain't ochanami. But the basic, or the answer to the Gemara is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shimon is right. When you have matot, when you have this hekesh of avanim, you have to take it the whole way. To take it all the way, that means a son has precedence over the daughter when it comes to inheriting from their mother. And number two, a mother will inherit the son. What's the reason that we don't say that by this part of the hekesh? That has to do with the chobat yoreshet nachala mimatot b'nei Yisrael. There's a specific miut that says that by a daughter and a mother, it's only a one-way street. That a daughter inherits but does not bequeath property. Now, the Rabbeinu Chanano suggests that the limud is not. This is we learned that the Rashi one says the extra word yoreshet. The Rabbeinu Chanano suggests that it's the mem of mimatot. That only a partial mitzat shnei batot, right? That only a partial two matzot who yoreshet veino mereshet. So that only two part of the matot are yoresh and not yoresh. How do you divide it up? The father is yoresh, the mother is not yoresh. So he says that the mem is a miut, and then mitzas, and then you divide it up. And we know the father already inherits the children, so the only thing left to exclude would be the mother inheriting the children. And therefore, it uses the term mi matot. Right, those are two ways to learn out the limud, to exclude it from the hekesh. Right now, the new Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah is going to lay out a seder, or better seder, a nachalot, which we've learned until now. It's basically, the Gemara has laid it out already, what this Mishnah says, which is seder nachalot kachu. This is the way that inheritance works. Ish ki amut uvein en lo. A individual who passes away and doesn't have a child, ve'vartem nachatol lebito. Right, then it moves over to the daughter. So first, ben kodem lebat. That's number one. So that's pretty straightforward, which we've learned before, that the son has precedence, then the daughter. Not only does the son have precedence to the daughter, but any derivative of the son has precedence over the daughter. That means that the son's son, or the son's grandson, or the son's granddaughter, son's daughter, all have precedence over the daughter. So that we look at an extension, we look at any individual who is a Yotzei Yerech, that is born or a derivative of the individual, as the individual themselves. They step into the place of that individual and they get the same rights as that individual. Therefore, if you have a son versus a daughter, son gets precedence. Anybody who is born out of that son's lineage will also take precedence over the daughter because they step into the shoes of the son. Now, when it comes to so Kol Yotzei Yerecho Ben Kodem Bat, Bat Kodemet Achim. A daughter precedes the right brothers over here. It would say Yerecha Shabbat Kodmin Achim, and the same thing will be true. Any derivative of the daughter will also take precedence over the brothers. So a daughter, which we learned before, we learned this because a daughter prevents Yibum. Therefore, a daughter takes precedence over the brothers. So therefore, the daughter will always inherit before the brothers. So in this case, if you have Yaakov, right, Reuven, his son, will be first. Reuven's children, right, which are, Chanoch, Falu, all of them will take precedence over Dina, his sister. If there's nobody in Reuven's line, or the Reuven doesn't exist in Reuven's line, then Dina will be number two in line. Dina will take precedence over Esav, Yaakov's brother, because she prevents Yibum, and therefore she takes precedence over over Esav. But not only will Dina take precedence over Esav, any child of Dina or any derivative of Dina will take precedence over Esav. Now, Achim Kodmin Achav, brothers, right, take precedence over uncles. That's another. So we have over here again that if Yaakov passes away, Esav will take precedence over Ishmael. Ishmael the uncle will not come before Esav. Yotzei Yerechan Shel Achim, Esav's children, right, whether it's Eliphaz, Reuel, will take precedence over Ishmael's children, or Ishmael himself, actually. Whoever has precedence that you just stated, Shaul, that anybody who has precedence in receiving or inheriting, Yotzei Yerecho Kodmin. So too, right, any derivative or any child, grandchild, anything that's a derivative will also take precedence. Ve Ha'av. Kodem l'chol yotzei yirecho. So here the Mishnah makes a statement which took us a long time to learn when we started out the Perek, which is that the father takes precedence over any of his children. So now if we go back through the Mishnah, right, again you'd have to relearn it. Right, you have Yaakov who passes away. Reuven is priority number one, and Chanoch u'Falu, Reuven's children, are right in line with Reuven. Number two is Dina. Right? And then Dina's children will also take precedence. After that, our Mishnah jumps to Esav, which is the brother of the Niftar. But our Mishnah just laid out the precedence, which is a father goes before Yotzei Yerecho. That means that Yitzchak should take precedence. Who's his Yotzei Yerecho? Yaakov and Esav. That means that Yitzchak will take precedence over Esav. So that will be the order. Now it will be Yitzchak, will be afterwards, then Esav. Right? And then Esav and O Yotzei Yerecho of Esav. And then, so Yaakov, we said he has no children yet. Then his father takes precedence, which is Yitzchak. After that will come Esav, who is his Yotzei Yerecho, which is the brother of Yaakov. Then after that we'll move up one more line and say, okay, Achayav. But when you say Achayav, we just said that the father will take precedence over Achayav, and therefore Yitzchak will come before Yishmael. So we'll go back and look at the grandfather first. Avram, I'm sorry. Thank you. Avram, the grandfather, will precede Ishmael, who will be the uncle, because again, the father will always go before Yotzei Yerecho. So Aviv will go before Achei Aviv in that instance. All right, so now, the Gemara wants to know, Tanu Rabbanan, how do we know this? How do we know the fact that anybody who is a Zera, who is a derivative of the person who is in line to inherit, gets precedence over anybody else? Where do you know that from? So it says, Tanu Rabbanan, Bein, Einli Ela Ben. It says, Ish Kiamut Uvein. So that tells you that a son is first in line to inherit. So Einli Ela Ben, Bena Ben, Obata Ben. How do I know that the grandchild, I mean the son of the son, or the daughter of the son, or Ben Bata Ben, or a Well, that's great-grandchild, the son of the daughter of the son. Minayim, how do I know this? Talmud Omar, Ein Lo. It says, Ubein Ein Lo. So now, what does that mean? Ayin Alav. So Ayin Alav, go look into it. I mean, that Ben Ein Lo, even though he doesn't have a son, Ayin Alav, check into it that he has no derivative. I mean, go look into more. We're not looking just for the son, we're looking for any derivative of the son. What's the limud? How do you get from Ein Lo to Ayin Alav? So that's subject to a machlokes here. The Rabbeinu Gershom suggests that the aleph of Ein Lo is as the ayin, make into an ayin. Look at all his derivatives. Works for everybody. So ayin alav, the Rabbeinu Gershom suggests that the limud here is simply that ayin and aleph get exchanged in places. So that's what the limud is. The limud over here is exchange the aleph with an ayin. And ayin alav means go look into the derivative or the lineage of this child to ensure that they have no zera. If they have any zera, then they will take precedence over here. Because Uvein Ein Lo is coming to teach us precedence, that the son takes precedence. Now the only problem with Rabbeinu Gershom is why? Why be lomate? Why switch it from an aleph to an ayin? Where do you come up with that? So that's probably what drove the Rashbam. The Rashbam says no. That the problem here is that the word has an extra yud in it. Why does it have a yud, you say? Well, because it could say, right, Ein Lo without a yud, or because we have instances, for instance, when it says Bilam, it says Me'ein Bilam. And Me'ein Bilam is with an Aleph Nun without the Ayin. But there it means Ein, right? He refuses, or he's not willing to, or there's not. So he says that you could have left out the yud. The fact that there is a yud here is what's driving the drasha. The additional yud comes to say, you pronounce it ayin instead of ain. Alright, not that he's switching again the aleph to ayin, but because of the yud, it's forcing us to make the drasha, because the yud is extraneous, and that's what causes the drasha to say ayin alav. So the nice part about the Rashbam is that there's a reason, or he's trying to show you why the Gemara is darshaning this. Although again, it's not so clear that the Torah in many places writes the word ein, right, with a yud in it. I mean, there are places where it writes without a yud. But obviously the Adam is so wrote that in this place that it was for a drasha, that the yud is ayin alav to look into him. So now, okay, we used the term. Oh, very good. Very nice. So who's he quoting? He's quoting the... All right, Rishmo ben Chachmon, who says that the Rabbeinu Gershom's reasoning is that it could have said, Ubein... Eish ki yamot. Velo bein. Oh, it could have said lo bein, and the fact that it used the word ein, right, already makes it extraneous. Very good. All right, thank you. I didn't see the Rishmo ben... All right, exactly. All right, so now the Gemara says, okay, that works nicely for the Ben Abba Bat. What about the daughter? Who's next? I only know the daughter. Bat Abat, the daughter of the daughter, or Bat, right, Bat Abat Ubein Abat, or the son of the daughter, meaning the grandchildren, male or female grandchildren, or Vat Ben Habat, right, or a great-grandchild, right, a great-granddaughter, who is the daughter of the son of the daughter, Minayin. How do I know that? Tamil Omar, Ein Lo, Ayin Alav. So the Gemara says that the term Ein Lo, or Ayin Alav, also applies here to the daughter, because it says, Ish ki yamot ben Ein Lo, vartim enach tol bito. Vim Ein Lo bat, if he has no bat, then unatatem enach tol lechav. And so the same thing, this Ein Lo, Ayin Alav is going to apply to each of the potential Yorshim who have precedence over here. We will not look at each, well, you look at each Yoresh plus their derivatives before we look at the next stage of Nachalah. Now, just as a, it's a side point, it's not so important, but if you look at the way the Breitot are written, and when it came to the son, it says the great-grandchild, it's a great-grandson, right, who is, how do we know that the Ben Habata Ben? Right, it's a great-grandchild that is a son of the daughter of the son. And when it came to the daughter, it says a great-granddaughter. It says the daughter of the son of the daughter. Even though both would be true in both cases, why does it go? Now, it's interesting. The Rashbam just says it's a language. It says it's Lishna Klila. It says it's a difficult language to say bat, bat, bat. So what they did was they just alternated. They went from bat, ben, bat. And in the case where they did the other way around, they did, right, ben, bat, ben. Just to make it easier to read, he just says that it's a nicer read. So that's all. It's not anything that's halachically significant.
the Rashbam. So I don't think halacha is significant, but just an easier way to read the Braita. And you see that from the two different Braita. Between the Braita, you're going to see that because they each use, one uses a great-granddaughter and one uses a great-grandchild. Shows you that they're indifferent between them. It says the whole reasoning here has to do with the ease of reading the language that's here. Aside from the Tosfos discusses here an issue that he discusses in other places. I'll mention it again. He doesn't. The solution is not so difficult, but he just says that why does the Torah over here? Why don't we just say Bnei Banim Harayim Kibanim? We say that in many places that Bnei Banim, grandchildren, have the same status as a child. Why is the Gemara over here looking for a specific limud that gives us lineage? I mean, for instance, by Yibum, we say that Bnei Banim Harayim Kibanim. Therefore, a grandchild will pulter from Yibum just like a child will. How come we don't say that over here? Why are we going for a limud ubein ein lo, ayin alav? Why do we need all of this trouble? So now, the Tosfos points out that he thinks that there may be a difference. That the time when the Torah uses the word zera might indicate any derivative of the individual, and therefore b'nei banim, arayin ki banim, in that instance is not a problem. But where the Torah goes out of its way to use banim or ben, then that means ben specifically, and not b'nei banim. That he says that we only say b'nei banim, arayin ki banim when the Torah uses the term zera. But when it uses a specific term, ben, why? Because it could have used the zera. The fact that it doesn't use zera already indicates that it's looking for something more specific over here. The Tosfos goes back and forth in trying to deal with that. Is that really true? When you look in other places, by banim, you can look in the Tosfos. I just want to point out this idea that, banim, arayin ki banim may not apply over here, and that's why we need this specific limud. Right now, the Gemara continues. Ha-ketzad. So now, how does this work? Meaning that the Gemara wants to know here, not how does the derivative work? Meaning that a child will pass nachla down to their derivatives, meaning a son or a grandchild or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that we understand. That's not a problem, because that's ayin alav the mata. But now, do we also say ayin alav the mala? How does it work when we move upwards? I mean, the Torah only stipulates up to uncles, and maybe, if you learn, we learned that from derivative or sheiro or whatever limud that you have, that there's a father also. So as far as the father goes, we know from the Torah. What about a grandfather and a great-grandfather? How do we know that that's also included in ayin alav? How do we know that you go back up that way? So that, how does that work? So the Gemara wants to say, hey, chadza, nachla me mashmeshet v'olechet ad ruvein. That means that you will go back. Now, they picked Ruvain because he's the first of the Shvatim. But if it comes to Nachala will move back up all the way to Ruvain. So if you find no children, if there's no way to find children, then we move backwards. We move up to father, grandfather, great-grandfather. And the furthest you could get is to Ruvain. The Gemara says, wait, but Leimad Yaakov. What do you mean the furthest you get is until Ruvain? Why not go back to Yaakov? So this is, who says that anybody from Shevet Ruvain is still around? So Amar Abaye Gmirit Lo Kala Shifta. We have a Masorah that no Shevet was ever wiped out. There's always somebody left from a Shevet. So if there's always somebody left from the Shevet, then you'll never get past the Shvatim in terms of someone that's going to inherit, because there'll be a derivative of that Shevet, and therefore you'll always find a way to have, the furthest you can get back is to the Shvatim themselves. You'll never have to go back to Yaakov, because there's nobody left of that Shevet whatsoever. Right, so now, right, that's what it sounds like. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Kol Omer Tirash Bat Im Bat Aben Afilu Nasish BiYisrael In Shomim Lo She'enum Ela Maseid Tzdukim. So anybody who says that a bat, a daughter, will inherit with a granddaughter, right? Even if he's an Nasi BiYisrael, even if he's a great leader, we don't listen to him. She'enum Ela Maseid Tzdukim. This is the way that Tzdukim learn. Now, first of all, the halacha is that way, that it's not that way. So why is an Nasi BiYisrael doing something different? So here, the Tosfos points out, because it's a tzorech shal. And we're going to see tomorrow, in tomorrow's daf, why there were times when they had this, with Bnei Binyamin, where there was a specific need to do this. But generally, we're not going to allow them to do this. Why? Because the Tzukim introduced such a possibility. And once the Tzukim introduced such a possibility, we will do nothing of the sort to be like the Tzukim, in order to avoid that. So we won't even allow temporary measures that are hurat sha'ah, because that will empower or give strength to the position of the tzdukim, and therefore we won't allow it. Now, what are we talking about here? It's a simple case. You have Ruvain. right? Reuven has, or let's do it with Yaakov. Yaakov's easier. We'll do it with Yaakov. Yaakov has children. He has Reuven and Dina. Now Reuven has a daughter. So now if Reuven has a daughter, and then Reuven passes away, Yaakov then passes away, who should get it? Is it Reuven's daughter or Dina? Right, so we just learned from our Mishnah, it's pretty straightforward, that since Reuven took precedence, the Yerusha from Yaakov's. Yeah, Yaakov's Yerusha. Who gets precedence over here? So Reuven predeceases his father, then his father Yaakov passes away. Yaakov's Yerusha, who does it pass to? So that's our Mishnah. Reuven took precedence, that means Yotzei Yerecho takes precedence. That means Reuven's daughter will take precedence over Dina. And that's what we're here. Yechol Omer, Tirosha, Bat Imbata Ben. Whoever says that a daughter should be on equal footing with a granddaughter, I feel that's your show, and show me, we don't look, Hashem might say it's Tukim. Because that's the way that Tukim learn, which we'll have to deal with. What is it that the Tukim learn? So that's the Tanya. We have a Brisa, but Arba Vesrim B'Tevet, on the 24th day of Tevet, Tavna L'dinono, we returned to, I don't know if it means to adjudicate or to debate with the Tzdukim. She had Tzdukim Omrim, Tirasha Bat Imbata Ben. That a daughter should have the same level as a granddaughter of her. So now, why do they think that a daughter should have the same status as a granddaughter? Later on, Rav Yochanan is going to win the battle, which is it. So I don't know, Tavna the Dinono, I don't know, this stands before the actual story of them returning, but okay, that's fair. If they, if you have the interpretation, Shav means that they returned, means that they admitted to Rav Yochanan in this case. Right now, what's the limud here? So that's it. Nifalhen Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai took issue with them and says, come on, Amalem Shotim, fools, Minayin Zelachem, where do you know this from? Nobody knew what to answer. I mean, where do you come up with this, these tukim? Chutz mizaken echad. She'a mefatfeit kenegdo. He had one zaken who came and started to, you know, debate against him, or was, you know, speaking out against him. Omer. Uma bat bino, a granddaughter, haba mikoach bino, right? So a granddaughter comes from the power of the son. Tirshenu bito, haba mikocho. Right, Loko Shekin. So who is the granddaughter? Why does the granddaughter inherit Yaakov? So in this case, Reuven's daughter, why does she inherit Yaakov? Only because she is a derivative of Reuven. So if she's a derivative of Reuven, then she is one step removed from the Niftar. So you have daughter of Reuven, and then Yaakov. So the daughter of Reuven only gets her power because of Reuven, who is a derivative of Yaakov. Whereas the daughter, Dina, why does she have a right to inherit? She's Bami Kocho. From Yaakov himself, her right to Nachla is because she's a derivative of Yaakov, of the actual Niftar. So therefore it should be that Dina certainly should be on equal footing with the granddaughter, because she has, at least, over here really, it should be greater power. She really should proceed in the way they're learning, but she should be no worse than the granddaughter, because her derivative, or her ability, or right to Yerusha comes directly from the Niftar, as opposed to the granddaughter, Dina, Reuven's daughter, who's Koach, to inherit, only comes through Reuven, so she's a Koach Kocho. She's only a double derivative of the Yaakov, versus Dina, who is a Kocho of Yaakov. That's the limit of the Tzdukim. So, Karol Avet HaMikra Zeh.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Right, it makes a lot of sense, unless you have Ayin Alav, right, which is, says no, that Yotzei Yerecho is not a Koach Kocho, but really Kocho, which means that they step into the shoes of that individual. And now we're going to see the other Limudim that he uses to destroy their logic. So over here, I give you put this together, so I think share a little bit over here. Maybe you want to move around, we'll share it. I laid out the psukim for you for what the quote or the proof that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai brings down over here. Maybe today I'll try to add the charts. Add in charts so it'll just be visual also, but I just wanted to show you the layout here. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says over here, Bekara Lavet Mikrazeh, says, I'll bring you this pasuk. Elu b'nei Seir, Achori. These are the children of Seir, Yoshvei Aretz, Lotan, Shoval, Tzivon, Ve'ana. Alright, so it says that he has children. He has four children, he actually has seven children, we'll see in a second. And then, it also says, that Tzivon also has children called Ayav Anah. Now, how could it be that Tzivon has a child named Anah, and Seir also has a child named Anah? Because Tzivon is his child. Seir has a child, Tzivon, and Anah. And now Tzivon himself has a child called Anah. So now, what's the obvious answer to that? So, Ella Malameid Shabbat Tzivon Alimo. Must be that Tzivon, right, slept with his mother, Seir's wife, right? And Volid Anah. And they gave birth to Anah.
Why is it
not possible? Oh, so, Vedoma, Trey Anah. Right, that's a simple answer, which is that they're just two Anas. I mean, that the uncle and the nephew had the same name. I mean, I have that. My uncle and I have to share the same name, so why can't it be that Anah is also, right, he's the son of Seir, he's also the son of Tzivon. Right, the uncle and the nephew have the same name. So he says, Amar Rabba, Amina Milsa, Delo Amra Shavur Malka. I'll tell you the answer to this. I'll tell you something that even Shavur Malka didn't say. Over here, what Shavur Malka can mean, we've seen in other places, Shavur Malka can either mean is Melech Paras. He was a king of Paras. But who is the Melech Paras of Halacha? Umanu Shmuel. That's Shmuel. Because Shmuel, the din is like Shmuel by Dinei Mamonos. So he's like Melech Paras, because we always go like him in Dinim. Igad Amre, Amar Papa, Amina Milsa Dula Amra Shavur Malka, or that it's Papa who said it, that's something that Shmuel didn't say. The Melech Paras didn't say, and who's that? Umanu Rabba. That's Rabba. So Amar Kura, what does the Pasuk say? It says, Hu Ana, right? Hu Ana Demi Ikara. So it says, about Ana here, it says, he is Ana. So he's the same Ana that was mentioned before. Now this is not a different Ana, but Hu Ana. Because you'll see in the Pasuk, why does it have to say Hu Ana? Because if it's referencing the Ana, we'll see in the second in the Pasuk, that it's found in, you don't have to say Hu. I mean, that you just said that his name was Ana, and then you have to say Hu Ana. That's not a term. The Huana already says, that must be referring to someone before. But that means referring to the Anah that was mentioned above. All right, so if you come here, I'll show you basically what I laid out for you. I laid out for you both here, the end of Parshat Vayishlach, and also in Divrei Yamim, the same layout. It's easier to see it in Divrei Yamim, but it's important over here because there's a three-way machlokus as to exactly what Rabbi Yochanan just said here. There's machlokus between Tosafot, Rabbeinu Gershom, and the Rashbam here, exactly what the issue was. And why that disproved the Tzdukim over here. So the first thing we have to know is that Esav has three wives, possibly even four wives. Right? One of them might have passed away. But at least at the end of Parshat Vayishlach, Esav has three wives. Those three wives are Ada Bat Elon, right? Then there is Basmat Bat Mishmael. And the third wife, which is the one that's going to be important to us, is Alivama Bat Ana Bat Tzivon Achivi. Okay, that's the third wife, and we'll see why it's become important to us, which is Alivama Batana Batzivon Achivit. I blocked it out for you on the top right here in the 2 hours. Now he has children. The Torah lays out the children of Esav. There's one child. Adai has one child, Eliphaz. Basmat has one child, Reuel. And then Alivama has three children, which are Yeush, Yalam, and Korach. Five children of Esav. Right, the five children, each wife, the two first wives have one child each. Then Alevi'ma has three children, which are Yeush, Yalam, and Korach. Right, then the Torah goes through. After that, it goes through each of the children and describes who their children were. And you can see this. But then we have Bnei Esav, Eliphaz, right, Reuel. Again, it goes over it. And then it stops, which is that the children of Alevi'ma are not mentioned over here, which is interesting. Then it says, who are the Bnei Eliphaz? And it lays out the Bnei Eliphaz. And then it goes and says, who are the Bnei Reuel? Who are the children of Reuel? And then it goes back and says, oh wait, here is Bnei Alivama Batana Batzivon. These are the children of Alima, Yeush, Yalam, Korach. Stop. We don't see any of their children. Just an interesting note. Why? Because if you go to Divrei Yamim, if you look at Divrei Yamim, which I brought you on the left side, it's clear here, but it's Bnei Esav has five children. Eliphaz, Reuel, Yeush, Yalam, and Korach. Then in the Yerim, it says Bnei Eliphaz, lays out for you Bnei Eliphaz. Then it lays out for you Bnei Reuel. And then there's silence. Right? Yeush, Yalam, and Korach. Nothing. The Divrei Yamim does not discuss them at all. Over here in the Torah, it explains that they're the children of Alivama Batana Batzivon. But she doesn't exist. We're going to see a second that Divrei Yamim, this Alivama Batana Batzivon, does not exist in Divrei Yamim, which is interesting. I'll point out a couple of differences. I just highlight them for you because a lot of them, Farshim, have to deal with them over here. Which is one is that Eliphaz has a number of children here. You'll see as Teman, Omar, Tzvi, Gatam, Knaz, Timna, and Amalek. Yet in the Torah, Eliphaz does not have a child called Timna, but a Pelegesh called Timna. and that he marries, who gives birth to Amalek. So all the Mifreshim, all the Rishonim have to deal with whether, but this Timna over here is the same Timna, meaning that the Pasuk is writing with Timna, meaning that his wife who gave birth to Amalek, or is there a male Timna and a female Timna? That meaning that the child, he had a son named Timna and a wife named, or a Pilegish named Timna, or is there some sort of untoward relationship again here that produces Timna and Amalek, that he has a child? Whatever the solution is, I'm just pointing it out to you. There is also, in the Alufim, over here, in the Alufim, where it lists down below all the Alufim, the leaders of Esav, it lists Aluf Korach, right, who is one of the children of Esav, lists him as being a child of Eliphaz, or in the Alufim of Eliphaz. So again, you have to deal with this. All right, I will just point that out. Now, next. The next section deals with the Bnei Chori, right, which is the reason why does the Torah go through this. Number one is just to show you the kings that existed before Klal Yisrael, but because Esav married into this family, that's what the Torah is talking about, the family of Seir. But when he went over to Har Seir and conquered Har Seir, he also married into the family of Seir, which is Ahalivama. Ahalivama is Bat Ana Bat Tzivon. So she is a daughter of Tzivon, who we know is a child of Seir. So now we know of the Ahalivama. So look at this. We have Ela B'nai Seir Achori. Who are the children of B'nai Seir? You have Lotan, Shoval, Tzivon, Ana. And then actually additional three children, which are Dishon, Etzer, and Dishan. Right, those aren't mentioned here. The Gemara doesn't quote this next pasuk. They just quote the one pasuk that has Tzivon and Ana in it. So he actually has seven children. He has seven children. Now, if you go through the children, the Torah then lays out all the children. It says Bnei Lotan, lists them. Bnei Shoval, who's the second child of Seir, lists out his children. Then Ve'ela Bnei Tzivon, this is what the Gemara is upset by. Right, it says Bnei Tzivon, Vaya Vana. The children of Tzivon are Aya and Ana. So now, if you go next, which is the next child of Seir is Ana. And that's exactly what the Torah does. Ve'elu b'nei Ana. These are the children of Ana, Dishon, and who's his child also? Alivama bat Ana. Right? Alivama bat Ana, which is also strange, because is this, if it's Alivama is his daughter, then why is it saying, it says El b'nei Ana, Dishon, and then he would say Alivama bat Ana. Is that to show you because it's a daughter? That's why he had to say bat Ana? Or he could have said Bito Alivama. I don't know. Or is Batana now referencing back to the original Ana, meaning the uncle? Is Alivama the daughter, right, here of Ana, or is she a daughter of another Ana, which is Bnei Tzivon? Is she Bnei Tzivon's Ana? Is she the daughter of that Ana? Because otherwise, why does it have to mention Batana? Right, we'll leave that for right now. Then you see the Torah goes on. Ela Bnei Dishan, Bnei Etzer, and then Bnei Dishon. So you see that it's clear that the Torah is listing out all the children. And in these children, I'm saying the Pshat and the Pasuk, which is what Joel was suggesting, is here. You have Tzivon has a child named Aya and Ana, but Ana, who's the child of Seir, also has children, that this Ana and that Ana are not the same. What's the Gemara's proof? The Gemara's proof is if you look at Pasuk Chavdalit here, it says, Bnei Tzivon v'yav Ana, Hu Ana asher matzah et hayamim v'midbar. Wait a minute, why does it say Hu Ana? Why is he Hu Ana? I mean, Ana is just mentioned here. You could say, Elu Bnei Tzivon v'yav Ana, right, Asher Matzata Yamin Bamibar, or Ana Asher Metzimim. Why is it Hu Ana? So Rishonim say, well, the fact that it says Hu Ana is trying to reference back to the original Ana. That means that he's the child of Seir. Well, how could he be both the child of Seir and the child of Tzivon? How is that possible? How can you have someone who's a child of both a father and a son? So that's the solution of the Gemara here. The solution is that Tzivon had a relationship with his mother, meaning that slept with the wife of Seir, his mother. It doesn't even have to be necessarily his mother, but the wife of Seir who gave birth to Ana, and therefore, because of Seir's wife gave birth to this Ana is both the child, quote unquote, of Seir and the quiet child of Tzivon. Child of Tzivon, really not a child of Seir. Right, thank you. Right, it's not really a child of Seir; it's really Seir's wife's child. But Seir's wife's child is Ana, so he's both the son, in quotes, of Seir, as well as the son of his son. Of Tzivon. So he's both, to Seir, he's both a child and a grandchild at once. Ana.
He's the son of Seir's wife, as well as the son of Seir's son.
Son. Right. Very good. So that'll make him both a son and a grandson at once in this method. That's what the Gemara is after. Now, of course, in the Pasha Pshat, it's not that way. I showed you what the Pasha Pshat is, that they're just listening. And the uncle and the nephew have the same name. That is the Pshat here. And you look here, Aluf Tishon, at the end, it lays out the Alufim of of Seir, and it says Aluf Tzivon, Aluf Ana. I mean that they are the sons of Seir. Each one has its independent. I mean that Ana is still listed there. The interesting part, and this is if you look in Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim also lets out seven children of Seir. Bnei Seir, Lotan, Shoval, Tzivon, Vana, Dishon, Eitzar, V'Dishan. I mean they changed a little. The Dishon and the Dishan are changed around. We'll see in a minute. So then it says Bnei Lotan, children of Lotan, Bnei Shoval. Right, it goes through that. Then it says Bnei Tzivon. Now what's interesting here? Bnei Tzivon ayavana. Children of Tzivon are ayanana. What's missing? Right, Bnei Tzivon ayavana. Wait. Now you have next. Bnei the Huana Abishari Matsai Tiamim is totally missing over here. The next one. Ubnei Ana. Ana has a child named Dishon. Now Bnei Ana, who has a child Dishon, who was the other child mentioned in the Psukim here? Aliv Yomah Batana. Totally missing. Totally absent in Divrei Hayamim, which matches what we saw above. Above also, when it came to the other three children of Esav, they're in Divrei Hayamim, they almost don't exist. They're mentioned, but then they have no lineage, plus their mother's not mentioned at all in Divrei Hayamim. Aliv Yomah Batana does not exist in Divrei Hayamim. Now, what's also interesting, yes, Bnei Dishon, Bnei Eitzer, and Bnei Dishon again. Right, so you save all the uncles. What's also interesting is that Ana has a child. The Ana's child is Dishon, which is also the same name as his uncle. His uncle is also Dishon. I mean, Ana had a brother named Dishon, and he also had a son named Dishon. So yeah, you see a situation where there are many uncles and nephews named the same. So to say that Ana was also the son, the nephew and the uncle would not be so far-fetched. But the Gemara does not like that. Now, the one problem that comes up that we didn't address so far is that it says that Alivama is Bat Zivon, Bat Ana and Bat Zivon. That shouldn't be right. Because it should be, Alivama is Bat Ana, which we saw here in the Pasuk, but then it should be Ben Zivon. Meaning that, why is it Ana, Bat, why is it Bat Ana and then Bat Zivon? Where is she Bat Zivon? We never find that the fact that she's a daughter of Zivon. We find that she's a daughter of Ana. So now, if she's a daughter of Ana, Ana is either Ben Tzivon, is either a son of Tzivon, or Ana is Ben Seir, one of the two possibilities. So why is it Bat Tzivon over here? And that produces the problem. So now, because of that, I'll show you now the three possibilities of how to explain this in the Rishonim about what Rabbi Yochanan did over here. So look at first of all, the Rabbeinu Gershom. We'll start with the Rabbeinu Gershom since he's first in line. So the Rabbeinu Gershom says, what was the problem here? So if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, it's across from the wide lines in the Rishbam, four lines down, the Rishbam says, Klomar, Shelo yaratzo lechzir lehem tshuva. He didn't want to give them the real answer, because you're not supposed to go and give out your position. You want to hold on to your position. Ella mitoch divrehem ratzala natzcham. You want to beat them at their own game. What? Shehem modim shemamzer ino yoreshet aviv. They say that a mamzer does not inherit his father. Afal bi shibah mikocho. Even though he comes from his father. I mean, it comes, even though he's a derivative of the father, nevertheless, a mamzer, according to the... according to the Tzukim, does not inherit. So then he brings with Tzivon Vana, Alma da'achei havu. Tzivon and our brothers, v'adaktiv elu b'nei Tzivon v'ayavana. Alma dana ben Tzivon haya. So we see that Ana is both a grandchild and a son of Seir. Alma lamei shebat Tzivon aliv yomo. Again, the solution of the Chazal is to say that Tzivon slept with the mother. Well, lead me mino Ana. And then he had Bana, da'achiv u'b'no hava. He was both his brother and his son. Umidivrehem exilem, and from their words he responded to them, Tshuva, de mamzer eno yoresh. But they say a mamzer is not yoresh. Afo pish ba mikocho, that he comes as a derivative of the individual. Bata av nami. Afo pish ba mikocho, eno yoresh should become bata ben. If your whole premise is that a daughter should take precedence, excuse me, over a granddaughter, why should a daughter take precedence over a granddaughter? Because a granddaughter is a two lines down, two double derivative, whereas a daughter is a single derivative, Bazmi Kocho. So he says to them, listen, you yourselves say that a mamzer does not inherit a father, even though he's a direct derivative of the father. So we see you have precedents in other places that even though you're a direct derivative of the father, does not entitle you to necessarily Yerusha. So if you're going to say that mamzer doesn't entitle to Yerusha, why don't you say over here? Based on that, the Rabbeinu Gershom, all he's saying, the whole bringing of these psukim over here has no relevance to the case except to say that he was a mamzer. And to say mamzer is to show that, oh, you who say mamzer is not a derivative of the father, so to a daughter doesn't have to be a derivative of the father. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom learns. So the whole case that's brought down from Seir and Esav is all about a mamzer, to come up with a case of a mamzer in the Torah. And that mamzer, he says, doesn't inherit. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom learns. Now then, the Rishbam over here explains that that's not the answer. Why? So he says, if you see in the Kara Lav Mikra, see Kara Lav Mikra in the Rishbam, it's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom in the Rishbam. She'anu le'medim imenu, she'ana b'no, shel tziv'on, right? Ana, the child of Tziv'on, haya, v'karalei ben Seir, he's also the son of Seir, v'kamar name yoshvei haretz, that they live on the land. Klomar, she'na yirash eretz Seir, Ana inherited his father, Avi Aviv, his grandfather. That they inherit the nachla of their father just like children. That'll be the same thing as a granddaughter. Right? That we'll see why that the Tzdukim can reject this. But basically, the proof that the Rishbam says comes from this pasuk is that you see that Ana was classified as one of the Yoshvei Aretz. And Ana, who's really a grandchild of Seir, is still classified as a son of Seir. So you see, a grandchild equals a child. So therefore, Ben Beno has the same status as Beno. So that's the proof that Rabbi Yochanan brought from here, that since Ana is listed as the Alufim, or the Yoshvei Aretz, in terms of the Bnei Seir, he's listed among the Bnei Seir, even though he was really a grandchild of Seir. Again, based on the fact that Siv'on, his son, slept with his mother and produced a grandchild, quote-unquote grandchild, to Seir. Because the only reason, only blood relationship that Seir has to this child is through his son, Siv'on. Right? So his blood relationship to Ana is through his grandchild, yet he's listed among the children of Seir. So that's what shows you that a grandchild equals a child. That's the proof of Rabbi Yochanan according to the Rishbam. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam. If you go up to the Tosfos Melamed, Kasha the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam had a question. Amaya hadele mi'ana. Right? Why is he bringing from Ana? Dilma ben aben ave kibno. Maybe a grandchild is like the child. Aval bapeno, a granddaughter, lo tia kibno, will not be like a child. Elikibito, equal to a daughter. I mean that a grandchild, a grandson, will equal son. But a granddaughter will not equal son, but will equal daughter. And that's exactly what the Tzduki is going to answer Rabbi Yochanan in a second. That's it. I think the Rashbam set it up, because we know that the Tzduki is going to come back and answer that. So I think the Rashbam set it up, that the Tzduki will have an answer, and then Rabbi Yochanan will give him his real reasoning. But the Rabbi Yochanan is not willing to accept that. He says, what type of proof is this? That you're bringing a proof from a grandson, right, that equals son. That doesn't show you anything about granddaughter. Maybe granddaughter equals daughter and not son. So now, Venir Lerbeinu Tam, the Ana Isha Haya. So here you have Rabbeinu Tam, only Rabbeinu Tam could do this. Rabbeinu Tam turns the world upside down and says that Ana is not a man, but a female. Why? What's his proof? What's his proof? Kidemuche cry. The Pasuk says this. Dichtiv Eile Bnei Alivama Bat Ana Bat Sivo. There you go. Ana is, it says here that Alivama is the daughter of Ana, who is the daughter of Sivo. So Ana is the daughter of Tzion. That means that Ana is a female, not a male. So now Rashi solves this problem, which he quotes over here. Rashi on Chumash. What is it? Rashi on Chumash? He quotes later on, much later on in the Tosfos. It says Rashi perish Chumash that Alivima haya bat Ana and bat Tzion. That Alivima was both the daughter of Ana and bat Tzion. And how's that? Shabbat Tzion alimo. Again, that Tzion slept with his mother and produced Ana. And that's why. So that's why she's both Bat Ana and Bat Tzivon. She's a daughter of both of them because of this Tzivon who slept with his mother and produced this Ana. So therefore, she's both a daughter of Ana and a daughter of Tzivon. Alright, that's the way Tosfos says. And that's, again, the way Rashi is doing it, answering the problem, is again this Mamzerus, creating this Mamzerus issue. The Rabbeinu Tam rejects and says, Bat Alivima. Now, once you've done that, now it makes sense. Because now he's talking about a granddaughter. Because Alivama is Bat Ana, right? Bat Sivon. So now, Ana is what? Is a granddaughter to Seir. Ana bat Zivon ben Seir. So as he says. So we see over here that it was a granddaughter, and yet Ana is listed also as a child of Seir. That's it. V'hashta, I'm skipping a couple of lines down in the Tosfos, about the mid section of the Tosfos. V'hashta adalei shapi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the bata ben chashubaka ben, the reshim shar banim, shein komim the bat. Because here you have Ana bat Zivon, Ana the daughter of Zivon, it now inherits among Makarla Yoshvei Aretz, that they're included in the listing over there. Avikodem el abat, and we consulted the besof kavachomer shalem, and that's how he does it. Vekachi akodem el abat, ever goes before the door. We consulted the besof kavachomer shalem. V'had yichtiv hu ana l'shon zachar. Oh, little problem for Rabbeinu Tam is that when it says bnei, right? Elu bnei, it says elu bnei tzivon ayah ve'ana, and then it says hu ana asher matzah et meidim. It's all written in the male form afterwards, right? L'shon zachar inu mishum shiyarsha im achay tziv achya or achiv. Tzivon kezachar, achay tzivon. Because in the end, Ana, his daughter, quote unquote, will inherit along with Tzivon's brothers. Tzivon will pass away. Tzivon will pass away, and then Ana will be elevated to inherit along with Tzivon's brothers. So the reason the Torah uses hu Ana, Hashem atzeh teyimim ba'midbar, is because Ana is now upgraded to the equivalent of a son. He's upgraded to a son because she will inherit amongst the other sons of Seir. And so now she'll be equivalent to Tzivon's brothers. She'll be like Lotan, Shoval, right? They have the same status as them. How did Ana inherit? Wait, Tzivon has two children, Aya and Ana. Now Aya is a male, Ana is a female, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. If that's the case, she had a brother. Because it says, "Ubnei Sivon Ayavana," she has a brother named Ayav, and we know that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the son takes precedence over the daughter. So how is Ana inheriting over here if Ayav is there? Yesh lamar tebeit Ayav. Ayav passed away. So the Rabbeinu Tam's solution is that Sivon has a son and a daughter, a son Ayav and a daughter named Ana. The son Ayav passes away, and now he's left with this daughter Ana. And this daughter Ana now is going to step into the shoes of Tzivon and become an inheritor of Seir, and that's why it says Vu Ana. How do you know that? He says, I can prove it to you. Next on, and now this is the difficult part of Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam now says, if you look back in the Psukim that I showed you here, he says, okay, what's the next line in the Torah? The next Pasuk in the Torah is Ele Bnei Ana. And when we say Bnei Ana, we said it's referencing back to the Bnei Seir. Right? That's one of the children of Seir, because it's going through all the children of Seir and their children. The Rabbeinu Tam says, no. Elu Bnei Ana over here means the Ana that was mentioned in the previous Pasuk, the granddaughter of Seir. These are the children of Ana, Dishon, and Ali Vama Bat Ana. And also she had a daughter, Ana. That makes Ali Vama actually a great granddaughter of Seir rather than a granddaughter of Seir. And he does, and he says, oh, you know why? So now I prove to you. Ayah's not alive anymore. Why? Because it didn't say Eli Bnei Ayah. Where's Eli Bnei Ayah? And Tzivon has a son and a daughter, Ayah and Ana. Then the Torah continues, says Eli Bnei Ana. These are the children of Ana. Where's the Eli Bnei Ayah? Where's that? Now obviously that's not Pashut, the Pashut Shad and the Pasuk, because the Bnei Ana that are being mentioned here are not Ana the son of Tzivon, but rather Ana the son of Seir, or whatever, the daughter. But here you go. Three different ways to learn it. All of them face the difficulty of the Psukim. Right, they have to deal with the fact that, number one, Elavya bat Ana, bat Tzivon. They have to deal with the fact that Tzivon has a child named Ana, as well as a brother named Ana. The easiest way to solve that is to say that they are uncle and nephew. The Chachamim are not willing to say it because of the additional pasuk of Hu Ana. He's Ana. So he's Ana. Sounds like, again, that it's a male, which is the problem for Rabbeinu Tam. But this male, Hu Ana, is the same Ana that was mentioned above, the son of Seir. So the solution, according to them, is that there's Mamzerus over here. That's the solution. Rabbeinu Tam says, maybe, but that's not my solution. What Rabbi Yochanan's question is that Ana was a woman, and it's a granddaughter. And this granddaughter, we see, inherits along with the other children of Seir. And since she inherits along with the other children of Seir, you see that she has equivalence, right? A granddaughter has equivalence of a son. If that's true, that goes against what the Sidukim stated. So those are three possibilities. Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rishbam, how to explain the question, or the proof of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So then, Ana. So now, Amarle, Rebbe, Bekacha, Tapotrani, says, what type of answer is that? So again, according to the Rashbam, it's easy to understand what he was questioning him. Because according to the Rashbam, he brought a proof from grandson and not from granddaughter. So his answer will be, you know what? Okay, you're right. Grandson is like a son, but a granddaughter is like a daughter. And that will be the answer. According to Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, it's not so clear what they exactly answered over here. It's possibly according to Rabbeinu Gershom, he says, this is a real child, not a mamzer. Mamzer is different, a different category. You can't classify them. So Amalei Shoteh, Lotei Torah Shlema Shalanu, Kesicha B'Teila Shalachem. Our Torah should be nothing like your waste of words here, and your limudim are nothing compared to our Torah. I'll bring you the answer. So at first he didn't want to give them the Tamei Torah because he didn't want them to mess around with the Tamei Torah. So he tried to answer them through their own logic. Now according to Rabbeinu Tam, he succeeded. According to the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Gershom, he may not have succeeded so well. So now what is the answer? Malabat bino. Shekein yafa kocha bimkom achim. Tomar bebito shora kocha bemakom achim. Says, wait a minute. Let's look at this. What happens to a granddaughter versus uncles? So you have here, again, let's go back to our case. We have a case of Yaakov. Right? You have a case where Yaakov has Reuven and Dinah as children. Right? And then let's say that Reuven also has a daughter. Over here. So now, and Reuven also has brothers, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all their brothers. So now, what are you going to suggest? Now you suggest over here. Their suggestion is that Bata Ben, the granddaughter, right, is equal to the daughter. Meaning that the daughter of Reuven should be equal to Dinah. From a Kal V'chomer, why? Because granddaughter, Reuven's daughter, is a second derivative, whereas Dinah is a first derivative of Yaakov. So if I'm going to praise this, that's it. So he says, wait a minute. Malabat Beno. Shekein yafa kocha bimkom achim. Tomar bebito shera kocha bimkom achim. So what is Rabbi Yochanan's proof over here? So let's give the example of Benot Slavchad. Benot Slavchad, according to the Torah, they come to Moshe and they say, our father passed away. And the Torah says here that Benot Slavchad will inherit from Slavchad's father, Chefer. So now if I look at the setup here, we have Benot Slavchad, and we have who Slavchad was a son of Chefer. And then we also have other, Slavchad is one of the children of Chefer, not the only child of Chefer, but he has other sons and daughters. Chefer had sons and daughters besides Slavchad himself. And yet, the Torah says that Benot Slavchad will inherit along with Chefer's other sons. I mean that the daughters of Slavchad were elevated to his status, to the status of Slavchad, and they shared in Chefer's chilek in the Aretz amongst the brothers of Slavchad. Yet, the Benot Chefer, the daughters of Chefer, got nothing in Chefer's land. And since Chefer had land in Eretz Yisrael, and when it came to dividing up the land of Chefer, he had sons and daughters. The only ones who inherited his property were his sons. His daughters were completely left out. All right, and then one of those sons passed away. That was Slavchad. And then his daughters come before Moshe, Benot Slavchad, and say, listen, our father passed away. Do we get that Nachla? And Moshe says, yes, they do get the Nachla. So here's a case where the granddaughters of Chefer are going to inherit along with the sons of Chefer, the brothers of Slavchad. The sons of Chefer are going to, Benot Slavchad are going to be equal footing with them. They're going to step into the shoes of their father, Slavchad, and they're going to divide equally. Yet, when it comes to the Benot Chefer, if the Tzlavchad had sisters or Chefer had other daughters, in that case, we're not going to say that they get any of the inheritance over here, that they get any part of the inheritance. So here we see granddaughters taking precedence over the daughters, and therefore, you can't say that they're on equal footing. Your Kal V'chomer does not work. And that's how you read it here. Malabat Beno, the granddaughter, Shekein Yafakucha b'mkom achim, she steps into the shoes of her father when it comes to the brothers, meaning that the Benot Slavchad now step in to the other brothers of Slavchad, the Bnei Chefer. Tomar bebito, but if you talk about daughters of Chefer, Shorakucha b'mkom achim, they had no rights. The Benot Chefer had no rights to the property that the Bnei Chefer inherited and that Benot Slavchad were a part of. So here you see Benot Slavchad inheriting, even though the Benot Chefer would not inherit. Benitzchum, and he overcame them. That day they made into a Yom Tov, and that's what the Gemara was referring to in the original Brisa of the 24th of Tevet was a Yom Tov, because then they accepted that Rabbi Yochanan came up with the trump card, with the answer that overcame the tzdukim on that day because of this this logic over here. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to continue with this idea tomorrow, but we'll stop over here.